The blessings of the Lord. Thank God for His blessings. Let's turn in our scripture this morning. Let's stand for the Word of God. Joshua chapter 20, verse 7. Joshua chapter 20, verse 7. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. I want to talk about Shechem this morning. And we have ministered along this line before, but the name here means a ridge or a high place. And at Mount Ephraim, it's in Mount Ephraim. The Mount of Ephraim means double fruit, double fruit. Praise God. Not just fruit, but double fruit. And I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord and what He has given to us. And I want to talk about the church this morning. Praise God. I want to talk about the double blessing of being in the church today. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for truth this morning. We ask You to anoint the Word of God, speak to our hearts today. We give You honor, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. It's good to be in God's house. Good to feel the presence of the Lord this morning. Praise God. Now, this city of refuge was, as the cities of refuge that we've been talking about in the scripture were, you know, were set in a high place. They were set in higher places, so they would be easily discerned, and the person that had gotten into trouble and the avenger of blood was after them, they could run to that city and be safe. And the truth of it is today, we have something that is chasing after us, and that is the greatest enemy, and the Bible says it is death. Amen. And the power of death is sin, and we have some things that are trying to cause us to be lost for eternity. But we have so much that is for us. Praise God. We have so much that is on our side that we don't have to be lost for eternity, but we can just take what God has given us and use it and be blessed by it and live forever. Amen. Go to heaven and for eternity. And when God gave us the Holy Ghost and saved us, He put us in a position of a high place, and He lifted us up. And Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 and 2, the Bible talks about it here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. Everybody said Most High. Most High. That means there's no one higher than Him. He is the highest of the highest. And isn't it just the way of Satan? The Bible says that that he said, I will be lifted up above the Most High. But he cannot go above the Most High. Amen. It is impossible. You cannot do it. There are limitations, but we are in a high place here this morning. Praise God. And it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And David understood some things that sometimes we miss here in our in our society. We don't build walled cities anymore. We don't have those kinds of things. We don't position our cities in high places for safety reasons. But in the days of Scripture, they did. They built high walls around their city, and they put gates in those walls, and there were guards of the gates, and at nighttime, the gates of the city would be shut. And it was simply because there were many enemies, and they did not have the technology that we have today They did not have satellites, nor did they have radar towers and things of that nature. So they built walls, and they built towers on the corners of the walls. And the watchmen would go up into the tower, and all night long and all day long, that was his job, was to go up into the tower and to keep an eye out and to look and to see. He could look down. And we're in that place today. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 18 and verse 10, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. And you do a little bit of study into the towers of the days of Scripture. They were very, very massive towers. They were something that that they could actually. There was one tower in the city of Jerusalem that I read about in Josephus's writings, and they said that it was large enough to hold several hundred people in a banquet hall type situation. They said that the walls of the city of Jerusalem were so strong and so large. Some of the stones were so huge, they really don't know how they even moved them, but one stone was some 15 feet by some 15 feet by some 40 feet long. One stone, and that was in the foundation of the city. It was a safe place. Amen. It was a safe place. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And that rock is the foundation of our safety, of that wall of safety that God has given to us. Well, praise the Lord. They said that when the Romans came and besieged the city of Jerusalem, they took their engines, which was giant battering rams, and for days it was recorded that they hammered against the wall. And it did not even budge. It did not even move at all. It just sat there. They had to go to the weak point of the city, and even then it was very, very powerful and very strong. That's what God has given to you and I. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. He's given us some great things, some blessings, that come with being in the city called the church. Amen. And one is the vantage point because of the highness or the elevation that we are in, and the other is safety. Amen. That's a blessing today. I'm thankful that someone has thought about this ahead of time, that in America we now have some defenses. And we can tell if something is coming from high and coming down to explode upon us. And I'm thankful that they have been planning this, and they're not just today saying, oh, we need to figure this out. But for many, many, many years, they have been upgrading and been working on these systems and to protect us. Well, God knew in advance that we needed a system to protect us. Praise God. And He's had it in place for a long, long time, and it always works. Amen. It's good, and it's going to protect us, and it's going to give us a vantage point that nobody else has. There's something about it. They say that knowledge is power, and it is so very true. If you have wisdom and knowledge, I want to talk about that today, because we sit in a high place. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And so when God saved us, when you received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in His name, when you were born again of the water and of the Spirit, the Bible says He raised us up. There's something about sin, it will always take you down, but God will always lift you up. Praise God. He will lift us up, and the Bible says together He lifted us up and made us to sit together in heavenly places. in Christ Jesus. And so this morning what we have is a vantage point that I'm going to call wisdom. Amen. And it's not found in the governmental, wherever their buildings are and their offices are. You're not going to find wisdom there. You're not going to find wisdom in the books of science. Amen. You'll find a measure of it, but you're not going to find true wisdom there. Amen. You're not going to find the answer to life, but there is a place that you're going to find the answer to life, and that's right here in the church. Amen. And it's in the Word of God that is ministered and comes out from the church. Amen. The Bible says that we are the pillar. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. And there is truth in the church. There is truth in the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. If you try to find the answer to life, I've been doing a little bit of reading from some of these physicists and whatever just to kind of get a little bit of a different reading pattern, and they finally come down to philosophy at the very end of the matter. They talk about mathematical formulas and all of these things and what causes the universe to operate and all of that, but it always comes back to philosophy. Amen. And their thoughts are, how did all this come to pass? And is there a God? Is there a creator? And it's amazing to me, the people that have these great insights into the physical world, when it's all said and done, one of them, the man that is renowned in our generation today, I could give his name, but I'm not going to. He has come to the conclusion that there is no such thing as God. Amen. That everything is in the physical world, and there is no call from heaven. One particular physicist said, if you're looking for an email from heaven, if you're looking for a voice from heaven to speak to you about what life is all about, he said, forget it, it's not going to happen. And they don't have any kind of foundation upon which they stand that is based upon true wisdom. Amen. The wisest man that ever lived, he said, I'm going to sum it all up in this one matter here in Ecclesiastes 12. You don't have to turn there this morning. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Praise God. And that's what it really comes down to. And the wise of our world will scoff and they will laugh at such a simple answer. But the truth of the matter is today, folks, we have wisdom right here in the Word of God. And the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And the truth is the wisdom of God. And I thank God for the church today. Praise God. We cannot survive without it, because the Bible says that we are the body of Christ, and you cannot disconnect yourself from the body and live. Amen. Can't do it. And there are some today that feel like they can do it, yet it is not so. But when we feel confused, we go to the Word of God. Amen. Because the Word of God will tell us what's really happening. Praise God. When things are turned upside down and we don't know what to do, we go to the Word of God. Amen. Because it is the Word of God that is in the high place. Amen. It is in the high place of wisdom. There have been times that I thought, surely we're going to have a thunderstorm. Surely it's going to rain big time. And then I go and look at the radar, and the radar says, ain't nothing going to happen. And I'm like, no, really, this radar must be wrong, and it can't be telling me the truth here. But the radar is in a high place. Amen. and it reaches way out, and it really does tell a clear picture of what is taking place and what is going to take place. And I remember at least once feeling that it was going to rain, but it never did rain. What I felt was not right. What I saw was deceptive. Amen. What I was feeling did not portray truth and reality. There is only one thing that portrays truth and reality, and that is the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible is not of any private interpretation. Amen. But it is there for us as a church. Amen. And the Word of God is a light to our feet. It is a lamp to our pathway. Amen. Without this wisdom, we're all going to fall into the hands of the enemy. Amen. Because he uses words of deception. He is the deceiver. We have to be able to discern between the words of deception and the words of truth. There's only one place that truth can be found. Amen. That's the church. Praise God. Amen. Not just any church, but the church that is preaching the Word of God. And if it is a church, it will be preaching the Word of God. Amen. If it's not a church, it's not going to preach the Word of God. But it is the Word of God that is the light to our feet and a lamp to our pathway. Amen. And we can be confused by the clouds. We can be confused by the environment around us. Just the other day, a Russian naval ship was sunk. It went down to the bottom because they ran into another ship. And I thought, in this modern age, they ran into another ship. Yes, they did. It was foggy and they weren't able to see, and they were depending on their eyesight. They were not depending upon their radar. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, we cannot afford to get things messed up and go in the wrong direction because we're not looking from our high vantage point. Praise God. It's been many years ago now. There was a 747, and it was coming in for a landing. That's one of those big airplanes. And it was coming in for a landing, and all of a sudden, one of the lights on the panel did not come on like it was supposed to. And they thought this could be a major problem, or it could just be that the light bulb is out. And so they're coming in for a landing. This actually happened, and there was a swamp area right before the runway, and all three, the pilot, the co-pilot, and the engineer, they were all huddled over this little light trying to figure out what it was and landed that thing right into the swamp. Yeah. It can happen, friend. I'm telling you why. Because they were not paying attention to the things that were really important. Praise God. You can get your eyes on a little light and focus your whole attention upon one thing. Amen. But what we need is the truth that comes from the Word of God. Praise God. My feelings need to take a back seat to the Word of God. I need to have the Word of God in my mind and cast down any imagination. That is something that I imagine to be true when in fact it is not true. Praise God. I cannot afford to let my feelings and my emotion and my thoughts rule the direction of my life. There's only one thing that can rule the direction of our life, and that is the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Our refuge today is found in the high place of the Word of God. And when we have it in our hearts, we become a city that's sitting on the hill. Amen. Because, folks, there's a lot of people today that don't have direction in their life. And when they see someone that has direction, they'll gravitate toward you. How are you doing that? Why are you so happy? Why are things going the way they're going in your life? Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Praise God. There's a lot of blessings. And we're sitting on the hill of double fruit this morning. Praise God. We're sitting today in a high place that is blessed, blessed, blessed. And there are spiritual blessings. And there are heavenly blessings. And there is wisdom that comes from God. Ephesians gives us some of these. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And if you'll just follow with me this morning, hopefully this will help someone today. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was the Father of Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so he has made us to sit together in heavenly places. I'm going to look at that here in just a minute. But he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. We don't have to turn to other spiritual avenues for our blessings. Amen. Praise God. We don't have to turn to other things. Amen. There are so many other gods in this world. There are so many other things that you can get involved in to calm your spirit, to be happy, to be satisfied. And certainly there are things in this world that we can take advantage of and we can enjoy. Amen. But he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. We could take the whole morning this morning and talk about spiritual blessings. But God has blessed us spiritually. Praise God. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's the highest spiritual blessing that you can have. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost this morning. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Amen. There are times that you will find yourself and you don't know where to turn. You don't know who to talk to. That's the time that we need to go to God and get in the Holy Ghost again. Well, praise God. And I'm telling you this morning that a 1 hour or a 2 hour prayer meeting in the Spirit where you're speaking in tongues, and then there will be times, and the Bible talks about this in Corinthians. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about praying in the Spirit, and the Scripture says that even the Spirit will pray for us. I don't understand that completely, but the Spirit will pray for us, and I have been there, and some of you have been there, and the Scripture says that you will utter things that you don't even know what you're uttering, because it is the Holy Ghost, it is the Spirit of God, and what a joy it is when you go to God, and you go to Him with a heavy burden on your shoulders. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, friend, the bank doesn't have all of your answers. Well, praise God, it doesn't. And all of your friends that you call, they don't have the answer. Amen. All of your friends that you're connected with, they don't have the answer. And what happened to them may not work for you. I'm telling you, what we need every now and then is to go to God and let God speak to our heart. And it may be a whole lot more simple than what you think. Amen. And all of a sudden, there's nothing like going to God in prayer, and all of a sudden, that heavy load that you're under just releases, and you feel the liberty and the freedom in the Holy Ghost, and you don't have that burden anymore. Well, praise God. We need to know this, folks. Amen. This needs to be a part of your walk with God, because he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It's not something that's out in the cosmos somewhere, but it's right here in my life. Amen. I know where I can go because I've been there before. Amen. I know where to go in the time of trouble. I know what to do. Amen. I just need to get to Him and get a hold of that spiritual blessing. Well, praise God. I remember when I first came to God, I was smoking cigarettes. And some folks get nervous about it when you talk about this. But I was smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day, and I could not quit. It had gotten a hold of me, and I'd tried this, that, and the other, and nothing worked. And when I came to God and I repented of my sins, I remember that experience of repentance. I can take you to the place where it happened and where everything that was binding me up broke. Amen. And I could feel that release in the Holy Ghost. And I knew that God was there with me. And so I was baptized. And when I went down in the water in the name of Jesus, and the baptismal tank was just that. It was a horse tank. And it was built up on the platform. It was just a regular horse tank. And they filled it up with water. They're not as good as we are. And we have heated water, Brandy. It's not going to be cold and icy. But I have baptized people where I had to break about a half an inch of ice off of the top of the baptistry. That's where you know if you need the discerning of spirits to see if they're shaken under the Holy Ghost or they're just flat out cold. I think most of the time it's that they're cold. Amen. And Fred's going to get that right now. Amen. And it's going to be fresh and it's going to be hot. Amen. Well, it won't be hot. It'll be real nice. But I remember coming up out of the water in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, if God can remit our sins in baptism, which is our greatest, the power of our greatest enemy is sin. If God can break the back of sin, can't he break the back of cigarettes? And he did. And from that day, that was in 1974, in the month of April, when I was baptized in Jesus' name. And from that day until this day, I have never had a single urge. I have not had a single desire. It was a total, complete deliverance. I know it doesn't always happen that way with everyone. My mother-in-law, Mom, had to go through withdrawals, and she had a really tough time. And I don't understand it all completely, but I'm just so thankful today that God gave me that spiritual blessing of deliverance. We're in a high place today. The world cannot describe these things to you. They don't have these testimonies because they are outside of the commonwealth of the church. They don't sit around talking about miracles that take place. They sit around talking about the sins that they've been committing. Amen. They don't talk about victories and God. Amen. Oh, I just love to talk to folks that have a positive outlook and God's doing something in their life. Amen. I was talking to Brother Carricker, our pastor in Hutchison, and they're starting a work in Pratt, Kansas. And just the other day, they had some special services, and a man came and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the service. And I said, "Brother, that's exciting." He said, "Well, it is exciting because he is the city manager." Amen. And the city manager has come and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Knows a lot of people in that town. I just believe that God's going to break out in revival in Pratt, Kansas. And I'm praying for it. You say, "Well, there's this, that, and the other we're facing." Listen, you're going to face things your whole life. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now don't get your handkerchief out and start crying, all right? And forget about having a pity party. Amen. Getting down in the mully grubs, as they say. Amen. It's not worth it, friend. Oh, we get there every now and then, and we do go there. But I'm telling you, God is our only answer. Sometimes the hardest thing that we can ever do is find God. Amen. To go to Him until we find Him and we find the answer. But this morning, God is our answer. It's not the things of this world. It's not the ways of this world. But he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Praise God. Healing, deliverance, victory in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're sitting in a heavenly place here this morning. Amen. Well, praise God. Didn't smell like it when we came in, but we're still sitting in a heavenly place here today. God help us to figure this out. But I'm telling you what, it's probably the devil was in here. Somebody said it smelled like sulfur when I came in. That's the devil right there. Amen. He's been breathing he didn't brush his teeth this morning. Amen. And that's what we're smelling. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, it doesn't matter. I saw a picture of a church in Ethiopia and all of the rafters were open rafters, and it was a very, very crude church building. And I thought, dear God, I wonder what service is like in a place like that. I'd like to go and experience that. Because it doesn't matter if it's in the jungle or if it is the greatest and most beautiful cathedral that anybody's ever seen. I'm telling you, it's not the building. It's where we're sitting today. Praise God. We're sitting in heavenly places and we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Praise God. Why should we have our head down? Why should we be saying, woe is me? Amen. When God is in control and everything's all right in heaven. Amen. Well, all I see is clouds. What you need to do is look at the radar. Amen. What you need to do is look at the reality and see what is really happening. And if it says there's a tornado coming, you better get in the shelter. Praise God. If it says something that you don't see, you just need to go ahead and believe it. Well, praise God. Amen. We do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Faith is our radar. Amen. The conclusion of the radar is the Word of God. I believe the Word of God today. Amen. Ephesians 3 and verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. The manifold wisdom of God. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Amen. We are sitting in a high place here today. Amen, in a heavenly place, and we have the wisdom of God. We are blessed by the light of the Word of God. Amen, and because of the Word of God that we hear, that we memorize, that we study, that we get into our hearts, eventually we become the light of the world. Amen. People can see something different in us. Amen. And the light becomes a place of refuge. The Word of God becomes our refuge. Amen. If you're battling with something and dealing with something in your personal life, I challenge you to go to God in prayer, just like I was talking about, and tell God what you need and ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to show you from the preaching of the Word of God what to do. And I'll guarantee you today, it won't be very long and it'll come over the pulpit. But the problem is many times we don't want to hear the answer. Amen. Because it may mean that we personally have to do something in order to get the situation taken care of. And oftentimes we don't want to do that. We just want a quick fix and we want to go on our way. Amen. I'm not interested in a quick fix. If my car's getting low on gas, I'm not going to put water in there. I'm not going to do a quick fix. Amen. You can put baling wire to hold your muffler up for a while. But I'll tell you what, you got to get it fixed right. Here a while back, they had fires all down 54. And I asked the fire chief in our town, I said, what was that all about? How did we get fires all the way down the highway for several miles? He said some guy was driving down the road with a muffler that was loose, and it was dragging on the road, and sparks were flying over into the grass, and he caught all the grass on fire. And wherever he was driving, it was a fire that was going behind him. We don't need a cheap fix. It costs too much. Cheap fixes cost too much. I'm going to put a Band-Aid on it. I'm going to fix it with duct tape. Well, praise God. Don't fix your plumbing problems with duct tape. Oh, some of you guys are already upset at me now because you've invested in the duct tape company. Amen. And everything in your house is fixed with duct tape. Well, I'll tell you, friend, it's not going to fix your problem for very long, because underneath that cheap fix that you've got is a crack that is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And when it cuts loose, there ain't no duct tape going to hold it back. And then you've got a problem. I don't know why I've got all these major problems in my life. I'll tell you why, because it's just a cheap fix. Praise God. That's not in my notes this morning. That was free of charge, all right? No overtime charge for that. Praise God. But I'm telling you, what we need is to go to the Word of God and let the Word of God be the light to our feet. Let it be the lamp to our pathway. Amen. And the double fruit, praise God. The double fruit that we want to talk about this morning is the highness. Amen. The high place is the safe place. I remember going to Israel and going to the top of Masada, which was the last place that the Jews held out from the Romans in 70 AD. And it took a number of years for them to capture or to take over that hill. Today, if you go to Israel, there's actually a cable car that goes up to the top. It's that high. It's probably 1,000 feet up, or maybe several hundred feet up. It's really high. And there was 900 Jews on the top. On the front of it was Herod's palace. And they had carved big stones, big round stones, and they were placed all around in areas where the Romans might try to climb up to come to the top. And they would roll those stones down on the enemy, and they knew there was no way that they could take that fortress. There was absolutely no way. And so they decided that they would make a giant ramp coming up to the side, and they took the Jews that had been captured and they made them dig dirt up, and they made a gigantic ramp, and that was the only way that they could actually take that city, because they knew they would not roll those stones down on their Jewish brothers. And when they saw that it was over with, they all committed suicide, and they would not allow the Romans to come and molest them. And yet, if we just go back just a little bit to that high place, amen. You know what? We've got a wonderful blessing in the church. It's a wonderful blessing in the church. And I thank God for the high place that we sit today. It is the devil's work to tell you that the church is important, but it's not really that important. That being faithful to the house of God is important, but it's really not that important. I'm telling you today, we have so much in the church that God has given to us. Amen. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Amen. The high place is where God comes and helps us from. And so it is the high place that we need to be at. We sit in heavenly places. Praise God. I want God's help, but I've got to be in that heavenly place. Praise God. If it's just a church service, it's not a heavenly place. If it's just a church service or just another song, amen, then it's not the high place. It's just another place that I've been to this week. Amen. But I'm telling you, there is help from the hills. Amen. The hills of God. Praise God. And we have that help. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. Amen. Wisdom is not found in the low places. It's found in the high places. The low places is what Solomon wrote in his writings of wisdom. And he said it is the gate to hell. He said there are houses that are the gate to hell. And what is the house that he's talking about? Now, I hope that somebody can get a hold of this morning. Amen. It is the house where the woman is. And she cries out to the men and says, come, spend some time with me here. Amen. I'm telling you what. Can I just preach a little bit here this morning? Amen. Well, praise God. I'm telling you, it's still a sin to be involved in fornication outside of marriage. Because the scripture says that all fornicators will have their place in the lake that burns with fire. Amen. Well, you say, well, it's fun or it feels good or those kinds of things. I'm telling you, friend, the Bible says and it talks about her house and that it is the house to hell. It is the gate to hell. But then Jacob, he runs for his life and he ends up at Bethel. Bethel means the house of God, the church. He finds himself at Bethel. And at Bethel, the Bible says that he put some stones for a pillow. He must have really been tired. Amen. I'm telling you what, some folks can fall asleep anywhere. Some can fall asleep in church. I don't know how they do it, but Jacob fell asleep in church. But God was with him, and God gave him a vision, and he saw angels ascending and descending on a ladder, the stairway to heaven. And he woke up, and he said, this is a terrible place. Not meaning that it's terrible in the sense of bad, but it was terrible in the sense of the awesomeness of the experience and the depth of knowledge that he gained there at that place. And he said, this is a terrible place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. You want to go to hell? You got to go through the gate to hell. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the gates of a place was the place where the rulers sat. The gate was the place where they passed their edicts and they said this, that, and the other. Amen. Praise God. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to the pastor. Listen to your apostolic friend that's got the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Listen to your godly parents. Amen. And I'm telling you what, things will go well with you. Because there's a gate to hell and there's a gate to heaven. Amen. And it is wisdom. It is the person, it is the wise man that will travel afar. Praise God to get the wisdom that comes from God. It's a high place. Wisdom stands in the top of high places. Isaiah 41 and verse 17. When the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them. I the God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. And so in the church, in this high place, There is renewal. Amen. There is renewal. When we get thirsty, praise God. Fred, I think it's ready. Amen. When we get thirsty, oh, I'm telling you what, we've got to have a renewal. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to working and I forget to drink water. Anybody else do that? Two or three of you. And you know what it's like when you stop drinking water and it's really hot outside and all of a sudden you get to the breaking point and it's like, I've got to stop, I've got to rest, I've got to drink, and then I've got to drink some more and drink some more and drink some more. And it seems like you're not going to be able to drink enough to hydrate your body. Amen. Spiritually speaking this morning, we need the water of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. It's not just a pool that we drink out of. It's a continual flow of renewal in our lives. It's not the will of God. Oh, somebody help me this morning. It's not the will of God for us to start out up here with God and then go down, amen, and just blow away by the wind and be gone. That's not the will of God. We start out and being born again down here. We don't know anything about God. We don't know anything about the Word of God. We're babes in Christ. We have to have the milk of the Word. Amen. And it is the will of God that we begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we go upward and we go forward and we go higher. Praise God. That's the will of God. And it only happens by renewal. Amen. That's the opposite of a rut. It's the opposite of a rut. Amen. To get into a rut, amen, it's the same thing over and over. There's no change. I'm telling you, friend, you got to have a renewal of the Word of God. That's why we need to read the Word of God. That's why we need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Come on, somebody, help the pastor a little bit this morning. We've got to be renewed on a regular basis. You can't come and just sit and not receive anything from God. Can't do it. You just can't do it because it will not work. You know what? It won't work in your marriage. Listen to this. It won't work in your marriage. Amen. It won't work in your friendships. It won't work in your relationships. Oh, well, I told them I loved them 40 years ago, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Wow, awesome, isn't it? Just makes you want to be around that person all the time. Amen. And you get your monthly conversation with them. Sometimes it works that way because one person does all the talking and the other can't get a word in edgewise. That doesn't work either. Amen. Long, repetitious prayers. Amen. Going over and over the same thing. After a while, the Lord puts cotton in his ears. Amen. I can't hardly stand this anymore. Come on, smile just a little bit. Praise God. It's a two-way conversation, isn't it? Where we are renewed in Him. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. I know you've probably been here and read this scripture this week. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Have you ever been there? Neither shall fruit be in the vines. Have you ever been there? And the labor of the olive shall fail. I'm sure you've been there. And the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Amen. Been there? Some of us can say we've been there and done that one. And several of those, we've been there. You're looking around and you've been working hard, there's no corn in the crib, there's no ox in the stall, there's no olives on the olive trees. Nothing seems to be going right in my life. Everything is going wrong. Oh, thank God for a high place today. Thank God for the church, a place where we can come and be lifted up. Amen. I don't believe in coming to the house of God and being put down. Amen. We've got enough trouble as it is. Amen. We need to be lifted up in faith and lifted up into the presence of God. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. When we come to the house of God, we need, if you come in the door with your head down, don't get into the inner door without lifting your head up and put your hands up and say, thank God I made it back to the house of God, and I'm here to go to the heavenly place and get a different voice than what I'm getting on the outside. I want to hear something different. Amen. He said, yet. Everybody said, yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know why? Because nothing's ever wrong with Him. Nothing you can point at when it comes to Him. Amen. We were talking about that yesterday, about divinity. We were having a discussion, and my wife and I, and we were talking about God, and we were talking about forgiveness, and you know, we've got a plight here as people. We do. And the reason is because the Bible says all have fallen short. All have fallen short, right? Oh, I know there's you're perfect, but I'm not perfect. And I've fallen short. You know what that means? That means that I need to forgive, because everybody else has fallen short, and I'm going to come across somebody that's fallen short against me. I'm not going to escape this thing where somebody does me wrong, because all have fallen short. And when we fall short, there's usually somebody else that gets hurt by it. We say something that we shouldn't say, and it hurts the other person. And now we're in a situation. Now we've got a thing developing here. Amen. And it causes people to break up their marriages. It causes people to break up their friendships. It causes people to lose their job. It causes all kinds of problems. And so when God came and we examined God, God's never fallen short. Meaning, He doesn't have to apologize to anybody for anything, because He's never done anything wrong. Praise the Lord. And nobody can criticize Him, because He's never done anything wrong. And so He's in the high place. That's why He's the Most High, because there's nothing wrong with Him. And so when God came to this world, did He come and say, I'm better than you are? I've never done anything. Have you ever done anything wrong? Say, I'm better than you. And you're my servant, and you're under my feet. You're like the dirt of the earth. Oh, He could have done it, and He would have been right, because He made us from the dirt of the earth. But when God came, the theme and the thought of God was forgiveness. I'm going to forgive you because you have offended me. You can't fix it. You can't fix the problem because it's too great. I'm God, and there's nothing that you can do to get this right. Sin will cause death. Always. It will always cause death. But the only escape that we have, the only escape that we have, is God's forgiveness and God's mercy. And so what did He do? He robed Himself in one of us. That's awesome. I mean to tell you, this is just so awesome. You cannot fathom the love of God. That God, who did no wrong, came and literally took our sins upon Himself, so that we could be in a place of relationship with Him. My, Help us, Jesus. Well, somebody did me wrong. Welcome to the human race. Well, I did somebody wrong. And we were talking about forgiveness. And it goes a little bit further than God forgiving us and us forgiving others. But a lot of times, we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. But you know what? When I was baptized in His name, the Bible says it was for the remission of sins. God's forgiven me. Oh, I'm so thankful He's forgiven me. Praise God. Are you thankful that He's forgiven you? Do you have a release in your spirit? I don't have that hanging over my head anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I got a brand new start. But why is it? Why is it we know that doctrinally because we hear it preached and we read it in the Word of God? But why is it that when we get up from our pew and we go out to the world and to our daily routines, that all of a sudden we say, yeah, that's the preacher's right. But boy, why did I do that? It was dumb. Boy, that's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. And this and that and the other. And we just bring up again and again and again the past that we did wrong. Hey, listen, forgiveness is divine. Forgiveness is godlike. And if we want to be like God, then we've got to forgive others. But I got a feeling what we need to do probably more than anything is forgive ourselves. Y'all are looking at me real funny here this morning. But we've got to forgive ourselves. Amen. And how do we do that? Oh, I'll tell you. He said, even though all these things are taking place in your life, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to look beyond the clouds. I'm going to look beyond the thunder and the lightning. And I'm going to see what the man has to say that's looking at the radar. And he says, you know what? You ain't got nothing to worry about. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 11. I'm getting ready to close here this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so what I see in this, relative to this Bible study this morning, He's given us all of these things. He's given us strength. Everybody said strength. Renewal. Wisdom. Strength. We're in a high place. There's help. And then He's given us victory. Everybody said victory. Victory. Praise God. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror through Him. And we need to get used to saying that. Praise God. Oh, well, Pastor, you just don't know what I've done, and you just don't know why I'm where I'm at right now. And you're probably right. I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand, and sometimes we don't understand, and we are critical of things that we don't understand. We don't know where people are walking. We don't know what they're feeling. We don't understand. It's so easy to be quick to judge. So quick to criticize. Come on, somebody. Well, this is what I think. You know what? I'm getting to the place where I'm afraid of what I think sometimes. What does God think? What does God think? What does God say about it? Amen. That's what's important. And He has given us the victory. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And you know where the battle is at? Amen.
Right here.
Yeah. Amen. Went to the doctor the other day and he stuck something in my ear. He says, man, I see light on the other side. I'm just joking. But we think about that, you know. Yep, there's nothing there. Nothing to get infected because there's nothing in there. Amen. I'm telling you today, friend, praise God. It's right here in your mind. And the devil will bring up imaginations. He'll bring up idols or images into your mind. And if you haven't lived for God your whole life, images from the past will pop up. Thoughts about things that happened in your life. They call it in the medical thing, they call it flashbacks and triggers and all of these things. And that's how the world deals with it. They try to figure it out. But you know what? We're not of this world. And there are some things about our mind that we can understand and we can learn and we can try to help ourselves. But I'm telling you, when you get in the Holy Ghost works in your mind. And the Bible says we can cast down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Comes back to God. Comes back to the knowledge of God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Double fruit, double fruit. We're in a high place. We're in a strong place. And we're in a place where there are blessings. 1 Corinthians 1:19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You're not going to find God in any other place. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Thank God for the word of God. Can you say amen? The Jews require a sign, and they're spiritual Jews among us. They've got to have a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. I was in a church here while, it's been a few years ago, and I got to talking to the pastor, and he said, yeah, he said, we're thinking about dropping out of our particular organization. And he was not apostolic. He was another religion. And I said, well, really, why? Why are you considering dropping out of your organization? He said, because they are putting so much emphasis upon education and not God. And he said, in one of our districts on the East Coast, they actually sent a letter to their headquarters district, to their headquarters, and said, we don't want anybody sent up here to be a pastor of any of our churches that is over the age of 30 because they're of the old school. We want the new stuff. We want the modern. We want the educated. We want all of that. But you know what, friend? And thank God for education. I'm not against education. But I'm telling you, it will never, ever replace the will of God in your life. It will never replace the voice of God. Never. In the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Amen. You're going to get it through preaching. For the Jews require a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Greeks, foolishness. Oh, that's all they do is talk about repentance over there. That's all they talk about is this crucifixion. What's that got to do with me on my job? What's that got to do with my situation? What's that got to do with the life that I'm living? Oh, friend, that the old man might be crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know what the biggest problem we have is sin. Come on. It's sin. It's attitudes. It's those thoughts that we think that this flesh comes up with, that the world comes up with. Amen. But thank God for the place of double fruit. And may God help us to stay in this place. Musicians, would you come this morning? Amen. And sister, I need somebody. Kimberly, would you help Randy get ready to be baptized? Amen. And we're going to baptize her in Jesus' name. You ready, girl? All right. It's more than just getting in the water. Praise God. We die in repentance, and the old man is buried with him in baptism. Praise God. Praise God. And if somebody could let them know in the Sunday school, I'm sure the kids would love to come and see her son. Come see her get baptized. All right. Thank you, Deontay. Amen. God's good. Can we lift our hands right now and thank the Lord for His word? Thank the Lord for the blessing today. God, you're so good to us. Thank you, Lord, that you came down and did not lord yourself in a manner that would destroy us, but you came with forgiveness. You came with mercy. You came with grace. And I thank you today, Lord. Help us to live our lives like you, to be like you, to strive to be like you in our lives. Help us this morning. Touch us this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Can we just love Him right now and give Him thanks right now? You're so good to us, God. You're so awesome. You're so powerful. You're so worthy. Thank you, Jesus.